The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. So reliable, it just goes on and on and on.
At 9.33 this Tuesday morning, I'm joined this morning in studio by a woman who can only be described as a joy to chat to. She has two World Championship medals under her belt and has her eyes set on Tokyo for the 2021 Olympics. We talked in the Late Late Show a number of weeks ago and she was telling me all about what she's up to. Her name is Kelly Harrington. Good morning, Kelly.
Good morning, Ryan. How's it going?
It's good to see you because, well, first of all, I think I'd like to introduce you to the non-boxing members of our audience this morning as to who you are, a little bit about yourself. So let's take it from the start. Who are you? Where were you born? And
so I'm Kelly Harrington. I'm from the northeast inner city, Dublin 1. I love my community. I'm very proud of where I come from. I started boxing when I was 14, 15, basically to get myself out of trouble because I was heading down that wrong way. And I haven't looked back since. It's been great for me.
So you're from 1 to, say, 12 or 13, just from what you've said there.
Yeah.
Were you a good kid? And
I was like, well, I mean, when I was about 13, I started head down the wrong road. Like,
and what happened?
Just doing things that kids wouldn't really do, you know? Like, I'd no sense of direction in my life. I suppose I was very confused. And I mean, when I say the world was against me, like, you know, everyone was against me. Like, obviously they weren't against me. But when you're that age, like, and your brain is developing and all that, you really do think, and sure, you think your man, dad and all is against you. Yeah. I was that kind of child. And I suppose, like, I just ended up getting into boxing because it was the only really thing around in the community was boxing. There was just boxing clubs in every corner in the in Dublin 1, really.
And how were you rebelling? How were you becoming a pain? I presume you became a pain.
Oh, I became, yeah, a thorn in my mat and dad's side.
What were you doing?
I won't really get into it, like, but I wasn't really being...
Okay.
Good. And it wasn't just like little simple things that you'd say, "Ah, God, she's only a child." I was a brat, like, basically. And anyone from the inner city who knows me, like, they all know what I was up to. I see plenty of kids going through the same thing now as what I did go through, and I like to be able to share my life story with them and try and change them. Like, and even if it helps one person, then
okay. So you're going down this road. And there must have been, was it one moment or somebody or something happened that said, "Do you know, Kelly, I can see everything in you. That's great. But I can see all the potential, but you're going dark. We need to bring you back to the light."
To be honest with you, I was very, like, although I was only, say, like 14, although I was only a child, mm-hmm. I had an older head on my shoulders.
Yeah.
And I was very streetwise. So my ma and dad would have been, they would have always been on my case, and I just knew, I eventually just knew what I was doing was wrong, mm-hmm. and I had to do something, I had to change. I got sent over to England to live with my auntie for 3 months. When I was, I think I might have been 15 at that stage. And when I came back, like when I was in England, I really didn't like it. It was just very different, and I was able to kind of see what I was doing wasn't right, and wasn't right for my ma and dad as well. So when I came home, I just really got into a club. But I was trying to get into a club anyways for ages at the start because I knew what road I was going down was wrong, but I couldn't get into a club. But eventually when I got into a club, things just started to change.
But you said there were boxing clubs on every corner in Dublin 1, but why couldn't you get into a club?
Because no clubs wanted to take girls. Yeah, no clubs would take females. And in fairness, like, they hadn't got the facilities for it, but, like, as in changing rooms and shower rooms. But when you're that age, you're not going to be showering in a club anyways. Yeah. Like, a lot of kids in my club now, they just go. Like, they just come training and they leave. So they don't really use as changing rooms anyways or the shower rooms, you know. Like,
sure.
But
so you kept knocking on the door.
I just kept knocking. Yeah, there was a coach in the flats that I was hanging around, and there was a coach in there, and I'd see him coming in from training and going to training every day while I was hanging around in the flats. And I knew he was a coach of the club. So for a year, I used to, like, pester him, knock on his door and say, will they let me in now? Will they take me now? And eventually he just got, like, sick of it. So he says, all right, they're going to take you. And I had to train separate nights then to all the boys and the men and stuff. But
You were determined.
I was determined.
Why boxing, Kelly?
Because it was on every corner. It was so cheap. It was cheerful. Like, you didn't really even need to have your subs going in. You know, like, you'd be like, oh yeah, like you'd be, they'd be like, Kelly, do you have your subs? And you're like, oh yeah, I'll get you next week. That was like week after week after week. Yeah. But and that's boxing. You see, it is cheap. It is cheerful. And coaches are doing it voluntarily. And they.
Community. That's what you were saying.
No, that's exactly what it is like.
So when did the good Kelly emerge from the bold one?
From the bad Kelly. Yeah. Like, it's okay to say that.
No, but I don't want to be judgy. Like, but I am curious to know, like, because you're such a force of goodness, I think. But I'm just curious to know, when did you leave that?
When did I leave that behind?
Yeah.
I'd say, like, when I was 15, I was really getting into boxing, and I was becoming part of a different family. And it wasn't the fact of who I was hanging around with, because a lot of people say, oh, they're hanging around with a bad group and they're hanging around with this, that and the other. For me, I was hanging around with who I wanted to hang around with. They didn't make me hang around with them. I hung around with them because I wanted to, you know, like, and then it was me who stopped, like, not that I stopped hanging around with them. I just chose that I was going to do something different.
Yeah.
And I still speak to those people now, and they're still my friends. And it's life choices, isn't it, really, what you choose to do? And I suppose at like 15 up, when I was in a club and I had a boxing family, that's when me life started to change. And
it changed radically, because suddenly you found yourself going, I'm actually quite good at this. And you started getting a bit of attention, obviously.
It wasn't even that, because I never thought I was good at it, but a lot of other people thought I was good at it. You know, I just had a natural ability to be light on my feet and fast, very flighty, really. And I think coaches then just added their little bits in here and there and kind of made me a different type of boxer. But I started to believe it then when... Only in 2016, like, that's a long time after you get into boxing to start believing that you're actually somewhat good. And then when I got my first medal, then I just started to smell the roses and see, oh God, there's actually something good coming out of this, and just kept my head down then.
Do you remember the first medal?
Yeah, it was the Worlds in Kazakhstan in 2016, because I had said at the start of the year, right, I'm boxing. I think at that stage I'd been boxing 10 years, and I was like, I got into boxing to get me out of trouble, and I knew when I stop. I know now when I stop boxing, I'm not gonna go back to getting into trouble. You know, like, so at that stage in 2016, I was like, look, give it everything for the next few months. Put everything into what you're doing, and if you medal out here, great. If you don't, at least you have given everything. So that's exactly what I done. I was working full time in the hospital, and I was working in a gym as well. And I just gave it absolutely everything. Yeah. And then when I went out to Kazakhstan and I got a medal out there, I couldn't believe it. And then I really started to believe that if I do put my time and effort and all my energy into something, that you can achieve it. You know, it was the only time when I really, really knuckled down and when someone actually believed in me. And then after that, then sure, everybody believes in you. Once you get a medal, then everybody jumps on the bandwagon, really, you know, like, that's the way it is. Like, and things have just been great. Things just seem to keep blossoming, really. Like,
yeah, and you keep winning and achieving.
That's it. But the thing about it is, like, I was only saying there, I feel now, if I was to walk away from boxing, I feel like I have accomplished a lot. You know, I know there's still the Olympic Games, and that is a dream. But while it's a dream, it hasn't been a dream since I've been a kid to go to the Olympics, because, like I said, it was to get out of trouble. But now, as I'm getting older and I see that I am decent, I realise, Jesus, I could actually make an Olympic Games. Like, I could try and my best to go for it. But if it didn't happen, like, I've still accomplished a lot, and I'm still happy, and I'm not afraid to walk away from boxing. And like, I don't think that, I know I'm not going to go back to the way I was, you know. So I'm happy enough. Like, I'm happy where I am.
It's like a bonus system. It's a bonus to be a boxer. It's a bonus to win a medal in Kazakhstan, and it's a bonus to qualify for that. You know, is it like that?
That's exactly what it is. Everything is a bonus now from here out.
Like, that's a real winning formula, though, because you can't lose.
That's exactly it. You can't lose. Like, and I have great people around me who, like, just days where I feel like I haven't drank in 4 years, you know, like,
yeah.
And
Good on you, by the way.
Like over the last couple of months, I would be, oh, I'd love to go out and just let the hair down and have great people around me who are saying, what's the point, Kelly? Like, you know, yeah, you don't need to, like, you're on the right track, keep going, you know, like, and I'm like, yeah, you're right, like, because I'll only end up bloody sick anyways the next day, so what's the point in doing it? So, and I mean, I have all the time after the Olympics to go out if I want to, so.
So you're just keeping yourself.
Just keeping myself.
My body's a temple, you know.
Exactly,
I keep that going.
I can eat all the chocolate in the world, but that's it.
Can you actually?
Well, like, probably, like, I'm 6 kilos over my weight at the moment, but I'll start cutting it down.
Half the country is at least 6 kilos over the weight. But Gilma, you're working throughout COVID. You've been working doing what? Remind us.
So I'm working in St. Vincent's in Fairview. I'm a cleaner in there. I love my job. I love the patients. Well, I'll rephrase that. Maybe I don't actually love the job itself, but I love the patients in there. And I love that I get to be around the patients in there and shine a bit of light on their day. And
what time is your day? What time is your shift normally?
It starts at 8.
8. And when you get in there, 8 to what?
8 to 1.
And what typically do you have to do cleaning wise? Are you using the... Hoover or the big machines or whatever?
So we have Hoovers, yeah. Hoovers, mops. We have everything basically, yeah. All the sprays, like there's millions of sprays around now, everything. But I just get in and I just get stuck in from the time I get in. And then I try and get it done as quick as I can so I can spend a bit of time then like having the crack with the patients, really.
And what class of hospital is
it's a psychiatric hospital.
Okay, and you're in there between 8 and 1.
So during the COVID, I was in there 7 days 1 week and then 3 days the next week, and I was only in from 9:30 to 1:30 at that stage. But that's gone now because they don't really need me that much anymore. As far as I'm aware, we haven't had any COVID patients in there, which is absolutely amazing.
Like, were you worried when the rest of the world was worried at the early stages as a cleaner, particularly going in? Or did you mask up more than everyone else and, you know, PPE and all the rest of it? Or how did you feel? You're shaking heads.
Are you mad? Yeah, like obviously I'm worried because, like, I'm not one of these people who think it's some kind of a conspiracy or anything, because I know it's real, like, it's happening, you know?
Absolutely, yes.
But I was just going about my day being normal, like wearing my gloves and like, because I wasn't on my normal ward, I was on the COVID ward and I wasn't near any patients or anything. But if I was coming into close contact with someone, I would have a mask on me. But apart from that, I wasn't.
You kept going.
Yeah, I kept going, just kept doing it. You have to keep living, don't you?
You have to keep going.
You know, like, life goes on.
Do you have, can you tell me why you enjoy the patients' company so much?
I think they make me feel normal.
You tell them that too.
And that's the thing, like, when I go in there and like I can do anything and they get a great laugh off me, like, and
because you're acting the maggot.
Because I'm acting the maggot, yeah. You know, and yeah, like we had a karaoke. It's gone now. Actually, they got rid of the karaoke because it was broke. We broke it, but we had a karaoke.
What's your go to song?
Young Hearts.
Young Hearts, Wrong Free.
Yeah.
Okay, good choice.
So I would we'd go in and we'd whack the karaoke on and we'd be up and we'd be singing and it'd be up full whack and God love the poor nurses having to listen to us, you know.
Like, can I saw footage of you there doing this is the shadow boxing thing.
Oh God!
What is that? That's an international competition.
It was because obviously there's been no sport, no boxing over the whole COVID. So there was the European shadow boxing competition, and it was
I'd
like,
be deadly at that.
You would actually. You should give it a go. Hope you got that recorded.
No, we don't have cameras here. Keep going.
So it was countries from all over Europe and thousands of people like put it in. But I have some imagination, so I was like, right, we'll do it in work because I only bring my speaker into work and I do get the staff, like the household staff and stuff, and the catering staff. We'd be up and dancing and stuff. So I told them what it was. I told them it was the European Shadow Boxing Championship, yeah, and I wanted to win it. And they were like, great. So I came in, I brought my speaker in, but then it started growing. One of the workers were like, oh, I'll be the card girl. And then another one was like, I'll ring the bell on the milk jug. And I was like, all right. But it comes back. I thought I didn't hear anything for
how many people were taking part?
I don't know. Like, there was there was a good few people, like it was all staff anyways, but there was a good few people and everyone got great crack out of it. Like everyone was smiling and getting great joy out of it.
Were there many people competing for this? Competing for it.
There was thousands, like.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because it's European, like, okay. and there were so many people.
You're in the kind of the dining room, shadow boxing, you know, look, nearly the staff and the friends are
and
kind
all
of
the, yeah.
ducking out of your shadow punches. Who won it?
I won it. I got the gold. I got it. I'm European gold medalist, shadow boxing champion without a glove landing on my face or landing on my opponent's face.
Not a bruise to show for.
Oh, I tell you. But the thing about it is, you know, when like, so there was music playing and I was doing the shadow boxing and all the work colleagues, they were all going.
Yeah, I saw it. Yeah. We Will Rock You.
It was, but. You want to see how many takes we had to do because everyone was out of sync. It was, I tell you.
It's just
it was
like the Late Late Show audience. Okay, let me ask you. Mandy, tell me about Mandy.
So we're together now 10 years. Yeah.
10 years. How old are you now?
A long time. I'm 30 now.
Yeah. Are you really? Yeah. God, what, I would have knocked at least 8 years off.
Oh,
that.
Jesus, thanks very much. We're friends for life now, Ryan.
No, I really mean it. You're really kind of like young looking. But go on anyway. So yourself, Mandy, you're 10 years together.
Yeah, so she's been with me since the start, really. Since my first National Elite title, she's been with me. And
how'd you meet?
She's boxed as well because she was boxing in a club out in Bray. And I had to go out and train out there for squad training. I didn't really like it, but look, I went out anyways. She was out there with her kickboxing bottoms on her, hitting the bag. And I was like, look at her. She really thinks she's it, doesn't she? And then after, like, it's just mad how things happen. Like, and she met a friend of mine in the George one night or something. Yeah. And I had Mandy's phone number and my friend was at the telling me and I text her and I was like, oh, what are you doing out in the George? And then ever since that, we've been together.
Because
like.
I remember when I interviewed you on the Skype or whatever for the Late Late. And you said as soon as the interview finished and we stopped and, you know, people at home didn't necessarily see it, but you took your foot off. I thought, was that Mandy? Shut up, man. But actually, it was your dog.
Oh, God, the amount of people who were like, wait, did you really have your foot on Nidge's head? I was like, no.
So your dog Nidge is obviously named after Tom Vaughan Lawler's character in
Love Hate. Because it's a love-hate relationship. He only uses us for food and rubs, that's all.
Yeah. And what class of a dog? Is he kind of a bulldog? Or?
He's a little Frenchie. He's a French bulldog. That you want to hear the noise out of him and the farts out of him. Oh my God, he's stinking.
And you keep him.
And we keep him. We love him though. That's the thing. We love that, but we hate the farts. So that's it. Love-hate. Oh God.
What's the story then with the Olympics are now Tokyo 2021? You've kind of set the record there. You dreamed you want to be there. You want to box. You'd like.
I really want to be there. Like I want. This is the next. I have two world medals. I've European medals. This is the next medal that I should have is an Olympic medal. Not I should have if I work for
You'd
it
like
and
it.
You work hard.
Yeah.
I would love it. Like I'd like it.
Come here. Are your parents gorgeous people like you are?
Yeah.
I mean, is that where you got it from? Because they had to be strong for you when you were a brat.
Yeah.
And they had to be good for you when you were coming out the other side. And they must be the proudest people in Ireland.
Yeah. I always feel like every time I win a medal, I feel like I'm making up for everything that I put my mat in there through. It's mad, but that is what I feel, you know. And they're the first people that I ring when I step out of the ring. They're the first people that I pick the phone up and ring. My dad actually worked in the hospital with me as well.
Really?
Now he's up in a different place now, part of the HSE. But it's what you get is what you see with us, really.
You're just. I'm so glad we got to meet up today because you're everything and expected and more, which is even
Thanks
better.
Thanks very much.
No, I really
Ryan.
Mean it. You're,
Thank you.
You're one of my new favorite people. Which is great. In terms of the future, obviously we'll look at the boxing and see how that goes. Folks are happy. You've done your frontline service, and you know you just seem to be a pretty happy person. And one last thing I wanted to ask you about was because it was one of the first things out of your mouth this morning when you sat down in front of me, which was, you know, you said my name's Kelly Harrington and I love my community. What is it about? Why did you say that?
It's, you know, we're in a community where everyone is so close, and if something happens to one family, if someone gets sick or something like that, everybody gets behind it in the community. Mm. It's such a tight knit. Obviously, we've had our ups and downs as a community, but what community hasn't? You know what I mean? It's just we seem to get more limelight because we're from the inner city, but the amount of good things that happen in there is absolutely amazing. I'm actually doing a class now on every Monday morning at 8:30. It started as an over 50s class, but then I just started to call it an adult class. But it's amazing because we have neighbours now on the road who probably haven't really talked to each other since we've been kids, yeah. You know, and they're all back out and they're all chatting away. And I have a nun now who comes from my job. Yeah, Sister Angela, I know she's listening in there, so hello.
You're getting the full blessing.
I'm getting the full blessing during the session and everything. And my ma's there, and it's very hard to do the session because my ma's there, because I do a lot of shadow boxing and stuff. And when I look at my ma's shadow boxing, I'm nearly on the deck laughing, like it's hilarious. But the thing about it is, like, everybody be chatting after it, and when they're leaving, like, they all look like teenagers. They're pepping their step leaving, and it makes me feel good that they're feeling good.
They got up, they got out, they got talking.
Exactly, that's exactly it. You know, like, and it's only 30 minutes. That's all it is. Like, and yeah, it leaves them then that way wanting to come back next week because they're like, I could have done an hour of that, and you're like, yeah, well, that's the point. We want you coming back next week. So, do you know, like,
you're amazing. You're just like Dave yesterday, who I spoke to. You're also a tonic, which is great, and a lot of the love for you coming in from people listening today, just about how upbeat you're making them feel. In fact, one said, I was feeling a bit down this morning, a bit down in the dumps, and now completely cheered up by Kelly. So
thanks very much. You
have this infectious personality, there's no doubt about it. Such a great young woman, a tonic, love to her and her family. Marvellous to hear a normal, down-to-earth person with and a sense of humour on radio with you. You sound like best friends. Well, that's not true.
Because we're the three best friends that anyone could ever have.
I'll never see you again. You take yourself and Mandy and Nidge and beat it.
Oh, God.
What a way to end an interview, eh? All right, Kelly, let's do this again, either here or on the Late Late.
Brilliant.
If you're okay with that.
Brilliant, yeah.
You can bring
absolutely
in the family.
Thanks for having me. Bring Nidge. I have to bring Nidge now.
No, you can leave Nidge at home. Or at least outside. Outside the front, by the sounds of it. It's a flatulence issue. Well, it might be a problem for us. Kelly, listen, good luck with everything that you
do.
Ryan, and
thanks
for spreading
much.
A little sunshine on a dark time. We appreciate it very much.
Thank you.
Mind yourself.
Well, that's, I tell you...